Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. As you can see, we are back on video, meaning we have Tech Eric back with us. I want to give him a welcome back. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. A lot of interesting stuff going on in the news, a lot of great guests that are coming on tonight, some reoccurring, some new, and I'll go over the schedule with you just here in a moment. First, I want to get the pizza out of my teeth. Now, first, I want to let you know our websites. HagmanReport.com is our website for important news and information and some show content. And HagmanandHagman.com deals with our show content exclusively. So again, HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com. Bookmark those sites. We're here live each and every weekday, 7 to 10 p.m., live on YouTube, live on Global Star Radio Network, as well as on Blog Talk Radio as well. And again, there is a lot going on in the news, and I'll give you the schedule first so we can let you guys know what's going on. We're open in this first half hour. We're going to be talking directly about the Susan Rice issue and the Trump wiretapping claims that have kind of made a come full circle in the news on some outlets. And then, and John's going to be joining us for the first hour also. For the news, as well as with our first hour, second segment guest, Brock Swinson. And he's a Hollywood guy. He's going to be on from 7:30 to 8. Then we have returning guest, Andrew Kerr from the Citizens Audit, 8 to 8:30. And Angela Warren, she had a huge following on Twitter dealing with Pizzagate. And if you guys remember, last time she was on, the day she came on our show, her Twitter account was banned. She was banned from her Twitter account, over 15,000 followers. She's got a new Twitter account, and she's working hard at continuing to expose the pizza or pedogate issue that's been ongoing. And she's got a bunch of information in the 8:30 to 9 slot that we'll be joined by her, and she's going to lay it all out. And then as each and every Tuesday, we have Stan Dale from 9 to 10. And I saw a few email questions in our studio email for Stan, and I have those ready to go. But let's jump right into it. I know John's with us, and I'll bring him on in a moment. I kind of want to lay this out a little bit. And John, we talked today, but I don't know how much you've been following what's been going on with Susan Rice. And the interesting story, for those of you who might not have heard it or only seen certain parts of this story, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, Susan Rice was on PBS. And she was asked about the unmasking, and Susan Rice, I guess I should go over this first. Susan Rice was the former national security advisor under the Obama administration. And she was interviewed on PBS a few weeks ago asking about the leaks and the unmasking that was ongoing and the surveillance around the Trump campaign. And like she did with the Benghazi story, and folks, if you remember Benghazi, she was the one who blamed the September 11th, 2012 terrorist attacks on a YouTube video. Not only did she do that, but Hillary Clinton also, and the president, went on to talk about the narrative that she created or they created, and it turned out to be all a lie. It wasn't a spontaneous, you know, riot that happened because of a 6-minute YouTube video that nobody watched that was apparently offensive to Muslims. It was a coordinated terrorist attack, and Susan Rice not only created and disseminated the narrative that the YouTube video was to blame, she went on all the political Sunday morning shows that Sunday morning, I think it was 5 shows, and lied to the American people and continued to push the narrative. And the video on YouTube was The Innocence of Muslims. And folks who've been listening to our show for a while have a good understanding of what happened in Benghazi. I know my dad's covered it extensively, both in written reports and on our show. So Susan Rice already has a huge credibility issue at least with me, and it should for many other people. She is no stranger to lying to the American people to push a political objective or to stop her political party and those people around her from being held responsible. And she has proven this time and time again. Now, again, she was on 2 weeks ago on PBS, and I can't find the name of the show, and I will find it at some point here. But she said, you know, she had no idea about the unmasking. She wasn't sure. This was after David Nunes came out and said that there were troubling reports of the unmasking and who was asked to do it. And she went on to deny it, basically said that she had no idea, you know, what was going on. Well, it's come out that the New York Times and Bloomberg both had Susan Rice's name and knew that she was the one who conducted the unmasking and dissemination of the people who were unmasked in those reports. And we're going to get into why this is so bad. The media is continuing to downplay this. And I got a few articles up here, so I keep looking at my computer, that I want to get straight. Because this is, it's funny, it's sad, and it's scary all at the same time. Now, what's most interesting that I want to make sure I don't forget to say, Susan Rice did an interview today on MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell. And during this interview, Andrea Mitchell asked Susan Rice, did the pace of unmasking requests, your unmasking requests, accelerate toward the end of your White House tenure? Meaning, after the election, you had, what, 3 months until the inauguration of Trump? 2 months almost? 2.5 months? She goes on to say that, I can't say the pace of unmasking requests would accelerate, but if you were asking where were there more reports provided to senior U.S. officials after the president requested the compilation of the intelligence, which was ultimately provided in January, yes. So, this wasn't... This surveillance, this unmasking, wasn't just something that was ongoing before the election. From her own words, there's two important things that she says here. One is that there was an increased requests about the information provided in January. So in the month leading up to Trump's inauguration, after the election, the intelligence increased. But notice what she says. In the interview, she goes on to say that this intelligence and unmasking request would accelerate after the president requested the compilation of intelligence, which was ultimately provided in January. So the big question is here. Obama obviously knew. He's the one who requested the compilation of intelligence. Now, what's legal, what's illegal, we can get into that. I want to kind of go over some of the media coverage because I got a wide array. Depending on which news outlet you go to, you either will hear something about this that may be true, may be false. You'll hear nothing about it, or you'll hear something like this. CNN goes on a rampage against Susan Rice bombshell, instructs viewers to ignore this story. Last night on the Don Lemon show, when he opened up his show, and this is articles on HagmanReport.com, it's also up on Drudge now. He opened his story with a disclaimer. He opened his show with a disclaimer. He goes on to... And folks, you can watch the video. I'm not going to get into all of this. But basically what he says is this is an illegitimate story. It's a lie. He said, I'm not going to insult your intelligence by pretending it's legitimate. Nor will we aid the people trying to misinform you, the American people, by creating a diversion. Not going to do it. And he goes on to talk about how Trump's wiretapping claims have not been substantiated, how Trump is a liar, and how they continue to push this false narrative. And even on ABC News, Susan Rice says it's absolutely false Obama officials unmasked names for political purposes. As we've been pointing out in previous shows, and we've seen the increase of this, there is a word game going on here. By this title on ABC again, Susan Rice says it's absolutely false Obama officials unmasked names for political purposes. Susan Rice was a Obama official. She unmasked the names. So what's misleading about this headline? Her claim that this was completely done legally for national security reasons and not for political purposes. That's how she can get away with saying it's absolutely false. Obama officials unmasked names for political purposes. Because we know it's very true that Obama officials unmasked the names, but it's being debated and it has not been proven yet that it was done for political purposes when we know that it has been done for political purposes. Before I go any further, I'm going to bring John on because I got a few other places I want to go in this half hour if we have time, but I want to get John's opinion on this. He's joining us from a remote location tonight. And, again, I talked with John a few times today, but we didn't get into the specifics of this story. Any thoughts, John, on what to make of the Susan Rice issue and the two narratives that are going in the news based on which outlets you look at and their predetermined bias opinions?
Well, first of all, Joe, thank you for having me on here. It's an honor to co-pilot with you here in hour one of our show this evening. And folks, as Joe mentioned, we have a great show planned for you tonight, so you definitely want to stick around. We've got some phenomenal guests coming in. But Susan Rice, I mean, what a joke. And Joe, God bless you for wading through the fake stream media narrative. And thank God for people like Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge, who did an excellent piece that our friend Josh Kaplan, founder and senior editor at VesselNews.io, curated. And as you were making your opening remarks, I took a look at some of the verbatim comments that Susan Rice made, again, folks, in the Andrea Mitchell interview on MSNBC. Susan Rice said, and I quote, "The allegation that somehow Obama administration officials utilized intelligence for political purposes, that's absolutely false. My job is to protect the American people and the security of our country." Well, Susan Rice, you may want to go back and read some back issues of one of your favorites, the New York Times, because the New York Times reported the exact opposite. And, of course, we were out front on that story last week at HagmanReport.com. Rice went on to say, "There was no such collection or surveillance on Trump Tower or Trump individuals. It is important to understand, directed by the White House or targeted at Trump individuals." False. So, Joe, you nailed it. And, you know, the question I would pose to the listeners, and, Joe, I'll hand it back to you. At what point has someone's credibility been compromised to such a gross extent that they have absolutely no credibility whatsoever?
It's a good question. I think after, you know, one Sunday morning talk show lying to the American people, making up a false excuse to cover for a terrorist attack and the administration's, you know, complete overthrow of the Libyan government, she should have lost all her credibility then and there, you know, by pushing this false story with Benghazi, that a YouTube video that nobody watched, nobody knew about, was responsible for the spontaneous attacks that we saw in Benghazi. And I think I heard on the way to the studio, I was talking to you on the phone, but I heard at the very beginning when I got in the car, Sean Hannity, you know, talk about the type of weapons that were in the Benghazi attack. And this is something that we haven't revisited in a while, but he was talking about how, you know, these, you know, RPGs and anti-tank missiles were there. Like, people just randomly carry that stuff around. But everybody knows, I mean, it's no secret now that the Benghazi was a coordinated terrorist attack. There's a conflicting narrative. Some people say it was an attempted kidnapping of Ambassador Chris Stevens. Others say it was an arms deal that Chris Stevens needed to be taken out. But we know that it was a coordinated terrorist attack. Now, Susan Rice had that information, but for some reason chose to lie, along with Obama, along with Hillary Clinton. Remember, they investigated Hillary Clinton. What difference does it make?
Does it make?
I can still picture her pounding on the table in my head. Goodness. But yeah, back to the PBS. Susan Rice was interviewed on PBS a few weeks back, and she was taken back by the implication that even suggested that Nunez was peddling falsehoods about alleged wiretapping. She said, "I know nothing about this," Rice said of Nunez's remarks in the PBS interview. "I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunez on that count today." She went on to criticize Trump over his tweets and suggested Obama had his wire tapped at Trump Tower during the campaign transition. She also added, "I don't know what Chairman Nunez was referring to. He said that whatever he was referring to was illegal, lawful surveillance, and that it was potentially incidental collection on American citizens." Well, we know now that this flat-out lie was false, and she even contradicted herself today on MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell, And what they're trying to do is to downplay this, to make this... Sean Spicer said it today before Susan Rice went on to be on Andrea Mitchell. He said, I know she's supposed to make comments to a host in a few minutes to minimize this, but it is interesting because she was the one who went out and said she had nothing to do with this on a program a few weeks ago. And people from Rand Paul to a number of other people are saying that now she needs to testify under oath about what's going on here, because it does need to be put on record. She's told so many stories over the years about different things that, you're right, what credibility does she have? And should she even have the benefit of the doubt? She's already contradicted herself on this story alone this time. We've known that she's lied to protect the Obama administration and the agenda. That's her MO, at least in the public eye. And why should we believe any different now? But I think she, during this interview with Andrea Mitchell, I'm not sure if this will gain any traction, but again, she goes on to say that the request for unmasking accelerated in January due to requests from the president for a compilation of intelligence. So will we see Obama, get caught up in any of this? I mean, I'm sure he already is in the political realm, but legally, and we talked about this a little bit, will we see anything come of this? She obviously broke the law. She's trying to backpedal it and say, well, you know, Nunez said it was legal. What I did was part of my job, and it wasn't for political reasons. But not only did she unmask the names, she put them in intelligence reports, and it was disseminated to top members of the Obama administration. So maybe it wasn't leaked to the public, but she definitely, from what I can tell, broke the law by disseminating that information.
Well, here's a brief Hagman memo to Susan Rice. With all due respect, ma'am, when you're in a hole, stop digging. To go back quickly to the MSNBC piece with Andrea Mitchell. Again, this is from Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge, as curated on VesselNews.io. Let's see. Mitchell said, quote, Rand Paul is suggesting that you be subpoenaed to testify. Would you be willing to go to Capitol Hill? Susan Rice's response. This is verbatim, folks. You know, Andrea, let's see what comes. I'm not going to, sit here and prejudge, but what I will say is that the investigations that are underway, now this is key, folks, this is the classic libtard move. You take the question and flip the script. Back to the quote. But what I will say is that the investigations that are underway as to the Russian involvement in our electoral process are very important, and they're very serious. Every American ought to have an interest in those investigations going wherever the evidence indicates they should. Joe, I can't help but think, imagine a coffee and cake moment with Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, and Donna Brazile. I mean, don't these people have help, somebody that can call them and say, with all due respect, ma'am, you need to tap the brakes.
You know, that's a good point, and it makes you wonder, is she, obviously she had a role in this, from her own admission. So how much of this is her being left out to dry to be the fall man, to distance the surveillance from Obama? Because, again, I don't know if you read this, John, and watched the audio clip on Drudge and on HagmanReport.com. CNN goes on rampage against Susan Rice bombshells, instruct viewers to ignore story. And Don Lemon, you know, opens up saying it's a fake scandal ginned up by right-wing media, that there's no credibility to it. Basically gave a disclaimer at the beginning of his show saying, you know, I'm not going to insult your intelligence. This is something that is completely, you know, made up to distract from the Russia story.
And Don Lemon. You know,
yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. You talk about digging a hole and stop digging when you're getting in a hole. These people, I don't think they know what that means. I don't think they care. I mean, are they just so insistent on being right? I don't think that's it. I think that's a much darker agenda at sowing discord amongst people who pay attention to what they say and don't do the research for themselves.
Absolutely. And what's happening here, a couple of things. There's a couple of moving parts that I would submit that our Hagman listeners and viewers take a look at and do a little homework on this one, because this is important. Three things as I see it. Number one, what we're seeing from the left in this country, from the Democrat Party, and Joe, you and I have discussed this before in private. Folks, it's such a shame that under this two-party system, this quote-unquote duopoly that we really believe at this point is more of a corporate oligarchy, but it's a shame that the party of Kennedy and Truman and even FDR, who's a rampant hopeless socialist, but the party that took us successfully through the Depression and World War II has capitulated over into just a ludicrous volume of fake news. But it's even worse because then you've got these clowns like Don Lemon reminding me of that spokesperson for the Connecticut State Police during Sandy Hook saying, the only information that's valid is information that comes from this microphone, and anything else is not. Well, how convenient would that be?
I forget. I know the name, the Connecticut State Police. I have the name on the tip of my tongue. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, but there are a couple of other things that I was thinking while you made your opening remarks. It was an excellent intro, by the way. You know, we're at a time now where people who are, by pretty much any definition of the word, innocent, are being locked up, while these nutballs like Susan Rice and Don Lemon and Brzezinski and Morning Joe and all of these kooks are purveying what I call the fake stream media narrative. You mentioned Benghazi, 9/11/2012. You know, it's often forgotten, it's sort of lost in the story, that the YouTuber that made that film was jailed for quite some time. And granted, he seemed an odious character to me, and again, with my Hollywood background, some of the actors that worked on the project and so forth really didn't have kind things to say about that man. However, did he deserve to lose his freedom? Let's jump forward, and Joe, I'll hand it back to you. Again, while we've got people like Don Lemon proclaiming that CNN listeners and viewers are not to acknowledge this story, you know, plug your fingers in your ears and la, 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 la. While that's going on, we've got David Delane locked up the Center for Medical Progress for having the audacity to bring the reality that Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts. It's bad enough they're conducting baby butchery, but they've engaged in commerce to sell these baby parts. So we've got the YouTuber locked up for a big fat lie cooked up by Rice and Clinton. We've got the Center for Medical Progress people locked up because they had the audacity to defend the defenseless. And to just touch quickly on our second guest last night, who did a phenomenal job, by the way. Folks, if you didn't hear Eric Hughes Jones last night in hour two and part of hour three, go back and take a moment to listen to that, because he really brought critical information. But a former guest, February 10th of this year of our show, Gary Hunt, is currently what? Sitting in jail. So, Joe, this is what's going on.
For reporting on public information that came out of a court hearing that is a matter of public record, and that is just insane. And, folks, if you have a chance, go back to last night and listen from 8:30, I mean, at the very least, from 8:30, till the end of the show. We had, actually, the whole show was great. And folks, I don't know if you've been paying attention.
It was a phenomenal show.
On YouTube, after every show, we've been segmenting each interview from each guest and posting it as a separate video on the show to kind of make it easier for people to, so they don't have to go search through that whole 3-hour block of content. So the interviews are segmented by guests on YouTube, and they have been for at least a month now. So that makes it a lot easier for people to find the content that they want. And
well,
we only
it,
have
it
a
also
few minutes
enables
left.
Them to enable. It enables. Sorry to step on you, Joe, but it also enables new listeners and people who are still in that quote unquote awakening process to utilize these segmented pieces, folks, as a tool to share with your pastor. Share these pieces around your Bible study. It's much easier to hand somebody a 25-minute piece with one of our phenomenal guests than to ask them to devote a full 3 hours to the show. Of course, we know, Joe, that once they hear the piece, they'll come on over to the mothership.
Absolutely. And coming up next, folks, John's going to hang with us as Brock Swinson is going to be coming on. He's a Hollywood guy. Obviously, John's a former Hollywood guy. And we're gonna hear some interesting an interesting interview coming up next. But real quick, just to do a kind of a lightning round before we, and just in case we don't get to the rest of the stuff today. North Korea today fired a projectile into the EC. They say it's an unknown projectile. Some say it's a missile test. It should be interesting because we see that the increased rhetoric of war has increased, especially in the last few weeks. And there's a big meeting between China's prime minister to visit the White House in the next few days, I believe. And there is some kind of tension there between China and the U.S. on how to deal with North Korea. And hopefully that gets ironed out and there's some kind of agreement as to how to proceed from here. A general came out today, and I don't know how much of this is just speculation or, you know, he's told to say this, but he said, you know, a full-out war might be the only answer. You know, basically bombing North Korea might be the only way to end this this conflict, which I think a lot of it, when you have these former generals and other people coming out, I think a lot of it is their own opinion or something they're told to say more so than what would actually be best for the country. And also, Andrew Kerr is going to be coming on to talk about Vault 7 tonight. But I wanted to get into this. We don't have time, but I guess watch in the news for any kind of distraction from the Susan Rice story. They've already done their minimizing. She went on the interview, tried to minimize it, say it was legal. And John, I saw the question on the Washington Free Beacon, Susan Rice Dodge's question on whether she would be willing to testify in court about this. That's a very interesting catch there. I'm going to post that up on the website during the show because it's very relevant. Folks, we're coming up against the break, but when we come back, we'll be joined with John, who's on with us now, and Brock Swinson for a half hour. It's going to be a great interview, so don't go anywhere. And when we have time, we'll get back into the Susan Rice issue. And we got some great stuff. Angela Warren's going to come on and talk about Pizzagate tonight. I'm really excited to hear that. Andrew Kerr, the Citizens Audit, and then Stan Deo. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got some not technical issues, but there was an issue with Brock and the sound. We couldn't hear him for whatever reason, but we're going to bring him back on. And again, John Robertson's with us. He's going to do the interview with Brock, and it's going to be an interesting interview, talking about, I don't know, John, what are you guys going to get into while we try to figure out?
Thank you, Joe. We're going to get into a number of things. Now, folks, Brock Swenson is a fascinating gentleman. I met him recently. You can find his work at Trump, as in President Trump, TrumpandConquer.com. Again, TrumpandConquer.com. But in addition to working in feature film production in Hollywood, so he and I certainly come from a similar background. But you know, Joe, Brock is heavily involved with teaching entrepreneurism to youth. So Brock is one of these boots on the ground, frontline guys who are really working to raise the entire millennial generation into the freedom and the leadership qualities necessary to be a successful entrepreneur. And folks, quickly on entrepreneurism, if you didn't hear our second to last interview with Josh Tolley, you'll want to go back and hear that because he certainly has a lot of great stuff to say. So we're going to talk a little bit about Hollywood. We're going to talk a little bit about millennials and being an entrepreneur. I will mention before we bring Brock in that I'm really excited to speak with Brock Swenson here tonight on the Hagman Report, because in addition to being a contributing writer for the Monday Network and other publications out of North Carolina, Brock is an interviewer and a contributing writer at Creative Screenwriting Magazine. And Joe, I'll tell you, there were months back in San Francisco in the early Hollywood days, I may have not had the rent, but I had the current issue of Creative Screenwriting Magazine.
And Brock, we're going to try this again, and if this doesn't work, we'll have to connect by phone so we don't waste any more time. Can you hear me, and can we hear you? Yeah, we got no audio from you, Brock. What we'll do, I guess. Okay. Well, then, Eric, you keep me updated, and we'll get him by phone if we have to. And John, I know you're not in the studio, but we got him. We're connected with him on Skype. He can hear us, but his audio is not coming through, so he's checking his preferences now.
Joe, but, do you mind if I take a quick 60 seconds to make a couple of announcements, just some housekeeping? But this is exciting stuff, folks. So we've been, folks, we so appreciate all of the emails and the tweets and reaching out to us. Now, you may have, hopefully you caught Jackie Hagman with us last week, and she'll be joining us again here in the next couple of days. But Jackie is our social media director, and she fields all of the emails and the tweets and the comments on Facebook, et cetera. So keep them coming. And one of the things that two things really that we've heard a lot lately, and I'm going to address them both right now. Number one, people want to hear more Hagman investigative work. You know, doing this three-hour show, bringing in 15 hours of original content a week, works us all like crazy. And up until recently, it has unfortunately detracted both Doug and Joe Hagman from their original area of expertise, which is investigative journalism and investigative reporting, vis-a-vis the Northeast Intelligence Network and Homeland Security US.com. That being said, tomorrow morning we are launching what we're calling the Hagman Investigative Exclusives. Now, folks, you're going to want to go to our official Hagman and Hagman Report YouTube channel to check out the Hagman Investigative Exclusives. And what we're going to be doing is several times a week. Now, we're going to do it once a week to get rolling, but ultimately several times a week. Guests who we've really enjoyed having on the program and some new guests that have not been on the live show yet are going to sit down for a one-on-one with Doug Hagman. These, again, are Hagman Investigative Exclusives. And tomorrow we're going to launch this with Stephen Menking, who's been making a lot of noise around the internet radio scene lately, most recently on the Common Sense Show when Doug and Joe hosted that a couple weeks ago in Dave Hodges' absence. The other thing we've heard a lot of the listeners ask us about, what are you doing about the censorship thing? I've received so many emails, Joe. Are you guys putting together some kind of coalition or a network or what's going on? And I can officially announce today that not only have we heard you folks, but we are responding and we've been working in the backcourt very hard to put together some synergy and get some different players on the board so that we can determine how to combine forces and push back against some of these censorship issues. That being said, I'm not going to announce the date yet. I will just say that it's in late April. We have a roundtable scheduled, And all of the guests have agreed at this point. I have the commitments in writing. Folks, this is going to be a three-hour roundtable moderated by Sheila Zielinski. And the guests around the table are Doug and Joe Hagman, Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer from Coach Dave Live, and Josh Tolley from The Josh Tolley Show. Three full hours of bringing all of these minds and these points of view together and figuring out what exactly are we going to do about the tech tyrants that are pushing the censorship on us. Because ultimately, folks, they're silencing us, which means we cannot inform you. Joe, I'm pretty excited about that roundtable.
Yeah, it should be fantastic. And I know the topic is going to be in pretty much all of our area of expertise in talking about a number of different issues with media, the alternative media, where we've been, what's going on now, where we're going, and some other things that are going to be great. Now, John, you mentioned the Hagman investigative reports. You said check tomorrow on YouTube?
Oh, no. The we're actually doing, folks, these are going to be pre-records. They're Skype video pre-records. The first Hagman investigative exclusive is with Stephen Menking. They will conduct the interview tomorrow, and we'll have it posted at the official Hagman channel as soon as we get the graphics burned in and have it nice and cleaned up.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I I was just sitting here thinking, like, what are we going to put up tomorrow? But all right, thanks for clarifying that. Do we have Brock? He's still working on it? Okay.
Well, Joe, go ahead.
I'm going to send a message to Todd and just get him on the landline. I don't want to waste any more time because he's only on for, but we'll keep him on video and he can do the interview via phone, and then this video will come across on Skype. That's a good idea, Eric. Thank you. And I will send this to Todd right now.
You know, God bless Todd Waite. Folks, there are a lot of people who work very hard behind the scenes to bring this show in every night. And Todd Waite is truly one of the unsung heroes of the Hagman and Hagman Report. He runs a tight ship. Todd, for those of you who don't know, is the founder and owner of the Global Star Radio Network. It enables the Hagman and Hagman Report to reach over 104 countries last year. Millions and millions of people listen to the show on Global Star. And I personally, as the producer of the show, work with Todd daily. And I'll tell you, Todd is a blue chip guy.
Yeah, absolutely great to have, and always on top of things. And Global Star Radio is one of our favorite outlets. And folks, we don't talk about this too much. We mention it here and there, but check out the lineup that Global Star has. There's so many people who are guests on our show and important other alternative media talk shows. I mean, they've got content 24/7. That's informative and spirit from spirituality to politics, all kinds of great content. It's there on Global Star Radio Network. Okay, thanks, Todd. Todd's got our guest, Brock Swinson, so we're going to bring him on audio and video. Brock, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Sorry about that confusion earlier.
No problem. It happens, and just glad that we got you on. John, I'm going to turn this over to you, and I'll jump in where necessary, if necessary.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Joe. And, folks, once again, our guest for the remainder of this hour is Brock Swinson. Brock is a prolific writer, and he's worked as the editor-in-chief of the Rogue Valley Messenger. He's been in Los Angeles film production for quite some time. He started the Carolina Monthly. He is a full-time freelance writer. And as I mentioned before we brought Brock in, my favorite part of his bio, he is an interviewer and writer at Creative Screenwriting Magazine. And if you want to check out Brock's work, and I recommend you do, simply go to Trump and Conquer. Trump is in President Trump, trumpandconquer.com. Now, Brock, you've got some excellent work up at Trump and Conquer, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about entrepreneurism, in the millennials. But what I'd like to do is hand it over to you if you'd like to shade in your background and your bio a little bit, and let's jump right in the deep end, sir.
Absolutely. I grew up in North Carolina, went to school for writing at UNC Wilmington. Kind of my last day in school there, they basically told me you can't really make it as a writer, which was great to hear the last day. I kind of took the opposite route of what they told me and started doing some freelance work instead of trying to get picked up by publications where your odds are, you know, one in a million, basically about 1% or less. So I started doing my own freelance work. I ended up moving to the West Coast for a while. I lived in Oregon and California. I did some freelance work on film production out there. When I moved back here, I started a small newspaper. I've done a lot of little projects for about a year or so. And most recently, I've gotten involved in politics and writing for, I started with the Monday Network. I actually wrote entertainment pieces for them. Then I moved into politics when I saw that they were had similar views as I did about politics. Grew up in a conservative household, and everything kind of rounds together to now to where I'm very passionate about freelance writing, entrepreneurship, and I see it, you know, it's so important today, especially people in their 20s who just don't take a lot of chances like that. They don't put work in the right way, but they kind of expect a lot. So it's really about just doing the right work, putting in the time, and doing it every day a little bit, chipping away at something greater.
Oh, well, you know, that sounds fantastic. And folks, just to reiterate what Brock said, you can find his original pieces at trumpandconquer.com, but he's also got some really prescient work up at mondaymondaynetwork.com. Again, that's mondaymondaynetwork.com. And I just want to ask you quickly, Brock, and then I'll hand it over to you for wherever you want to go for the remainder of our time together. And we've got about 16 minutes or so. Unfortunately, we've got a little bit of limited time here this evening due to the audio issues. But one of the things that really caught my eye that you wrote at mondaymondaynetwork.com back on January 7th, alert, Israel just passed a Facebook bill. The U.S. could be doing this too. Man, did you hit that nail on the head early on or what?
Absolutely. We have a great staff over there. So that started as more of a niche website. So we're doing a lot of entertainment articles. I started writing about The Walking Dead. When they moved into politics, we really narrowed down what we were doing, what we were trying to deliver every single day. We see so much, you know, as Trump calls it, fake news out there, that a lot of things are just not getting coverage. They're kind of getting looked over, and we just want to make sure that we're keeping even with the big conglomerates that is the left media that's pushing out all of the things that they want to say. The way you think Trump would already be impeached from what you read. But in reality, there's different sides. There's two sides to every story, and that's what we do at Monday. It's mostly myself and a few other writers. But that inspired me to start Trump and Conquer, which is a similar website where we also focus on that kind of news that's very important, and I really think we're trying to reach the younger crowd with that as well, stay up to date. So we have some articles that are more evergreen, that kind of last forever, just about what's going on in today's politics and how it's going to affect the long run. And then what I'm specializing in now is more about the day-to-day things, like breaking stories. You know, there was the thing in Syria today, and then there's all kinds of this and that going on every single day. So we try to find the best quotes, the best sources, the best articles, and just really like the stories that kind of pack a punch, but just so you know what's going on day to day, you can take the time to really read every article, or you can almost just browse on the site on your phone, which is what most people do these days. And we've categorized it where you can read it either way, kind of just break a little bit of the story or the full thing in a really deep version.
Well, Brock, a tip of the hat to you, folks. That website, again, is trumpandconquer.com. And, you know, something we try to do around the Hagman & Hagman Report, and Joe and I stay abreast of one another with this, is to broaden our perspective beyond the Drudge Report. So we're looking at VesselNews.io. We're looking at Trump & Conquer. Joe is very adept at looking at a lot of the different Reddit-style forums. And, of course, we all use Twitter for breaking news as well. But Brock, what I'd like to ask you about this evening, because this whole story of the millennial generation has become so fascinating and also so pertinent, certainly in the election cycle and in the post-election period. Where do you see millennials as far as conservatism goes? Now, we've had a lot of great guests on in the last 3 or 4 months who are, you know, 25 to 35 years old. And these kids are a generation, Brock, who was lied to their entire lives by a generation lied to their entire lives. So, Brock, give us a little idea from your point of view. Where are millennials with conservatism? And then let's tie that into how important entrepreneurism is to that political ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, people in their 20s are certainly obsessed with social media and entertainment and things like that. And if you just follow those sources, all you see is a left agenda. You know, all the celebrities are kind of were behind Clinton. Very few, if anyone, were voting for Trump. But when Trump won is what made me get into politics. I was still kind of a young, like, not sure who was going to win the election. I didn't really know who might win. Because all you see is Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. But when she won, obviously the solid majority is the majority, and Donald Trump is now president. So I think the biggest problem there is just really all the social media things. You really don't see a lot of it. But now with like Trump and Cocker and other websites that are up and coming, we see that we have a voice too, and it's not just, you know, one-sided like it seems. And all of that comes back to entrepreneurship, and I really, the reason why I'm Republican and grew up Republican is because I see the value in it. I see that it's not just great to go get a job. The promises we were told when we were younger are not really there anymore. You can't go get any degree and get a job. And even if you do get a job, it's not going to last a lifetime like it used to, like our parents have kind of told us when we were growing up. Most millennials only work at a place for 2 to 3 years. You can see from my stats, I've been at places, you know, 2 months to 2 years. That's kind of the max for me. I'm 29 years old. But as I'm learning more and more, we're also kind of trying more and more, and we really just hope something's going to catch. But I think in the long run, as long as you're, you know, if you're young and you're pursuing a general direction that's in the right path, it's not going to happen immediately, but it will happen later. And I think that's what's so important about entrepreneurship. And even honestly being a Republican and knowing what's right and wrong, and really just being someone who's more open to being in the middle about some issues and seeing what's going on. And that's the best way to kind of conquer some of these problems we have today.
Amen, brother. Now, one of the things that you wrote in your talking points that really grabbed my attention, because this is so critical, and for all of our younger listeners, first of all, God bless you and thank you for checking in. You know, Brock, we've been so blessed at Hagman Report that our demographic has changed significantly over the past 6 months, and we've got a lot of hotshot millennials listening to the show. But you write here, Brock, no one cares about your resume, just finished work. Would you like to touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think that's what you think at first. I've even heard, like, to give a different example outside of the spectrum, stand-up comedians who spend more time on their website than their jokes. It's kind of like that with everything. you can't just keep making a better and better resume. That's just what you do when you're distracted and not doing the work, whatever it is. So you can keep redesigning your website. You can keep posting on social media. I mean, some of that's relevant, some of it's not. But looking on social media all day is absolutely not relevant. Compared to the two, you know, watching versus doing, you should always do. Like, for example, I've heard some people that will kind of wait around for, you can wait around for like 2 years or a lifetime and just kind of piddle with this and that and move slowly in the right direction. But if you just take action, a lot of those things where you're like not really sure and are scared to take action for 2 years, you can probably learn all that in about a month of just doing it. Some of the things that I've done that kind of relate to that might be filmmaking, putting a website up, just doing small things. But I just go ahead and put it out there. I mean, you can start a website today and post an article and publish it on Reddit, and it could get 10,000 viewers in a few days. I mean, once you kind of get going, it's a snowball effect there. I've got a Medium account that's only got a few hundred viewers on it, I think, or subscribers. But now, as long as I'm putting work on there every day, that number kind of rolls as well. And Medium's a writing platform. But everything's kind of the same way. I think the biggest problem with millennials, and I had this problem myself definitely for the last 8 years, is just kind of going one step in 20 directions versus 20 steps in one direction. And you might not know exactly what it is, but just taking that action is the most important thing. So fixing your resume and doing it 100 times, no one cares. You just need to go put out the work. When you start putting out every day or as often as possible, whatever your routine is, do it to that routine and stick with it. But people care about the finished work, the finished project. They want to see what you're doing. They want to see it done. They want to see your style. It's the difference between showing someone a trailer and getting them to read a screenplay. I mean, it's a 2-minute thing that they can see it's already done. And that's what people need to do. But you can't just keep adjusting. You just need to kind of dive in and go for it.
Oh, yeah. Amen, brother. Folks, I want to reiterate a point that Brock just made. And then, Joe, I'm going to hand it to you for our last couple minutes here with our guest this segment, Brock Swenson. Brock Swenson, TrumpandConquer.com. And, Brock, we'll definitely want to bring you back for another segment here down the road, since we did have to cut this segment a little bit short, because I really want to jump into each of these key points that you're mentioning with a little bit deeper perspective. But, folks, you heard it. Between watching versus doing, you should always do. Joe, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, and Brock, what you just said is so true. And you know, the best way to learn, at least in my experience, is through taking the action. And even if you make mistakes, that's one of the correcting those mistakes and moving forward from there is one of the biggest learning curves you can give yourself. And I'm guilty of this too, the procrastination at times with certain issues. But just you described it perfectly, taking 20 steps in one direction instead of taking 20 steps in different directions instead of taking the 20 steps in the one direction. I don't know if it's you know, how it brought up this TV and internet culture, but there seems to be, at least in my life, it seems like I'm always doing that. And you know, I'll focus on what I need to get done, but then from there, I'm moving around in circles, you know, half the time. And I guess what you said is very accurate. We need to, make a list, make a to-do list, and don't overburden yourself with certain things, and take action on what you want to get done. Because John and I were talking today about what we believe. He asked me about the Christian church. Will we ever see the Christian church, get behind the truth movement and stand up for Christianity, stand up for truth? And I told him I don't think so. Not until all the creature comforts are taken away. Can you get into a little bit more of the mentality of why people, they have an idea. They want to start Twitter, social media, websites, whatever, to get their message out, their idea, but they refuse to do so for different fears. What are some of the things that you see hindering people most with, whether it's in social media, getting their message out, or whether it's venturing into the unknown? What are the fears? People doubt themselves. What else do you see as big problems in those areas?
It's definitely internal doubt. I mean, the first logic would make you think that it's just they don't have enough information. But with the internet, we have every answer to every question ever asked in our pocket with a cell phone. So I really think it's more about just taking the steps. I mean, you might not know. If you don't know how to cook something, you don't start just trying to like put everything together. You need to kind of follow a recipe. And even if it's something you don't know how to do, likely someone's done either the same thing or something similar before. There's so much information out there. I mean, the internet, YouTube, things like that, it's almost you can do it for free. I'll say one other thing that you mentioned about starting a to-do list. Some of that can almost be distracting. I know at one point I was spending more time making lists than actually doing things. And really what the difference would be is every day as a writer, I'm a freelance writer, full-time, and entrepreneur. I have a to-do list, like on one app, and I have another daily habit list on another app. And what those are, it's like one you check off and you're done with it, you don't have to do it anymore. The other one, you have to do it every single day. For Monday, for example, I write 4 articles about Walking Dead and 5 about politics every single day, or every weekday. Those are things I have to do every day. But those are things I get paid to do. To be an entrepreneur, you have to do all the things you don't get paid to do. For example, I have to post on other websites where I don't get paid, but I'm hoping there's a longer return in the end. And so it's really a difference between knowing the difference between your, you could say assets and liabilities, but it's your to-do list and your daily habits. And one of the apps I use is Way of Life. And it's almost just like a checklist that's always there. It almost like punishes you if you're not doing it, because you have to say yes or no at the end of it.
Okay. And we only have about a minute and a half left before the end of the segment. What advice would you give to people to help them break their routines, to get out of their comfort zone, to take more chances, more and be more active?
That's a good question. Just the quickest thing you could do is try and find a mentor one way or the other. You don't really want to go up and ask someone to be your mentor, but if you can find someone and kind of replicate what they're doing or see that, you can skip a lot of those steps where you're going to make the mistakes, and they can just tell you really quickly. Keep it short, ask them a question they can answer in like 5 minutes. And ask them, and then that's your first step and many steps to being what you want to achieve.
Perfect. Brock's website, trumpandconquer.com. That's trumpandconquer.com. A lot of very relevant stories I see up there. And forgive me, Brock, this is the first time visiting your website. But yeah. Important news and information. And this is something that you're doing daily, is continuing to update the content and keeping that rolling?
Absolutely, yeah. We're trying to keep it going daily, and we're taking some feedback. If you see it and like certain stories, you know, share those, let us know, and we're going to move in the direction of our audience.
That's what you got to do to, you know, continue to tell the truth and
absolutely
go where the people want you to take it, because that'll definitely keep you relevant. Brock, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Wish we had more time. I know John will book you to come back on in the future, and look forward to having you back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good evening.
Wait. Brock, thank you so much, sir. Quick note to all the Hagman listeners, to-do list and a daily habit list. There's tools for your toolbox right there. Joe, I'll make that my final comment as well. Thank you so much for bringing me in here in this hour one.
Well, thanks for being on with us. And again, Brock Swinson, thank you so much. TrumpandConquer.com. That's TrumpandConquer.com. And John Robertson, thank you so much for joining us and taking the huge portion of that last interview. That was very insightful, and I look forward to bringing Brock on again in the future. When we come back, we will be joined by the first segment coming back, Andrew Kerr from thecitizensaudit.com, and the segment after that, Angela Warren. You remember her. She was the Pizzagate Twitter that got banned the day she came on our show. But when we come back, first up, Andrew Kerr. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, and an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.